Hello and welcome to a special edition of Coffee House Shots. Just after 3 o'clock this afternoon, news broke that the Conservative MP, Sir David Emmes, died after being stabbed at a surgery in his constituency. 25-year-old man has been arrested. So 10 years after Stephen Timms was stabbed in his constituency, 5 years after Joe Cox was killed in hers, Westminster is now numb with the news of yet another political killing. I'm Fraser Nelson, and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Isabel Hardman. James, what do we know about the circumstances of this morning?
So we know that David Emmes was holding a surgery in his constituency. It was a surgery being held in a church. He had advertised it online. And we know that at about midday, reports emerged that he had been stabbed. And tragically, as you say, just after 3 p.m. today, we found out that he had died of the wounds that he had received. I think what this will do is raise a debate about the safety of MPs. Lindsay Hall, the Speaker of the House of Commons, has already said that was something that will have to be spoken about. MPs in these constituency surgeries are extremely vulnerable. They are dealing with people, often people who are angry or upset about something. And I think when you talk to MPs, I was on the phone to a veteran MP when the news came through that David Emmes had been stabbed. And one of the first things they said to me was that when you talk to any group of MPs now, even in a relatively small group, there's nearly always someone who's had a death threat. But these threats have become quite ubiquitous for MPs and have, I think, changed the nature of a job for many of them. This MP, who's been serving for a long time, said that he now only sees people on an appointment after his staff had a chance to check that they are who they say they are. And I think that we should all reflect on the risks that MPs have to run in doing what most of us would consider to be a fairly basic part of their job. I think people will mourn Sir David Emmes. He was a kind of genial parliamentarian, about a diligent constituency MP and a kind of doughty champion for Southend. You knew that when he was down on the order paper at PMQs, that his question would nearly always be calling on the government to back city status for Southend. This was a particular long-running campaign of his that he came back to time and time again, but always with great good humour and vim. I think that, you know, he's one of those people who will be missed for their contributions to the chamber as well as their work in their constituency.
Isabel, you wrote in your book that ever since the murder of Joe Cox, security has been very much at the forefront of MPs' minds, but it doesn't seem to have changed very much the way that they go about their business. So is it the case that all MPs have collectively just decided that this is a risk which they now have to run unless they want to live behind the shield of metal detectors?
Yeah, it was... After Joe Cox was murdered, I had long arranged to spend the day at Stephen Timms's constituency surgery. And as you mentioned in your intro, Fraser, Stephen was stabbed at his surgery and got in touch very soon after Joe Cox was attacked to say that he would be carrying on with his surgery. And if I felt comfortable, I'd still be very welcome to come. Now, I'd assume that given, you know, he'd sustained this physical and mental trauma of being attacked, that he would cancel the surgery. But he was absolutely determined to go ahead and had refused suggestions from the police to install knife arches and so on after his attack. And the same was the case for other MPs after Joe Cox was murdered, that they felt that to have scanners or other kind of vetting procedures would put up a barrier, not just a physical security barrier, but a mental barrier between them and their constituents, which automatically suggested to these people who were often coming to them, you know, at the sort of desperate end of a long battle with the state or some kind of crisis, to suggest to those constituents who are so very desperate that the MP already didn't trust them before they arrived. And so that's why MPs are so anxious about this. And there was a big debate after Joe Cox's murder about increasing security measures for MPs. And indeed, IPSA, which funds lots of things for MPs, including their, you know, their offices and their pay and so on, had been moving very slowly on installing security measures at MPs' homes. And of course, it then sped up very quickly after Joe Cox's death. But it is the case that MPs go to work in Parliament behind armed guards, behind huge security fences, you know, snipers on the roof and so on. They go home to houses that generally, even for backbench MPs that not many people have heard of, have CCTV installed, have panic alarms, have a special, you know, swift response number for the police and so on. But the one area where they are exposed is when they are doing their constituency work. It also is the one part of MPs' jobs that all of them feel very passionate about and all of them get a great deal from, and that brings them most in touch with their electorate. So I suspect that even after this, a lot of MPs will want to hold constituency surgeries as they have been doing for the past few years to show that they don't want to be terrorised by people. But it is something that they've become increasingly on edge about. And as James said, it's hard to find an MP who hasn't had a death threat or hasn't had a stalker. I think it would be impossible now to find an MP who hasn't had to get the police involved on someone at some stage. And there are obviously high profile MPs who have much greater security measures. Depending on the level of threat that is assessed as being posed to you, you have new doors put in at your home and so on. But that's partly because those MPs think, well, this is my spouse, this is my children who are also being affected. Whereas they want, when they meet their constituents, to be able to shake their hand and say, hello, I'm here to help you, not, hi, I already don't trust you. And this is the terrible thing about these attacks, is that inevitably there are going to be new procedures to try to protect MPs further. But a lot of them are going to be very uncomfortable about going, as they see it, too far.
James, David Amos was one of those who were uncomfortable even at the post-Joe Cox security measures. I'm going to quote here from something that he wrote a few years ago. He's saying, I have myself experienced nuisance from the odd member of the public at my own property. We regularly check our locks, and many others have CCTV cameras installed, as Isabel was saying. But perhaps the biggest significant change has been with constituency surgeries. I'm still quoting from his book. We are advised never to see people alone. We must be extra careful when opening posts. We must ensure that our offices are properly safe and secure. In short, David Amos concluded, these increasing attacks have rather spoilt the great British tradition of people openly meeting their elected politicians. Now, this morning, David Amos was continuing in what he saw is that open British tradition of openly meeting his constituents, a risk which he paid for with his life.
Yeah, and if you talk to MPs this afternoon, one of the things they will say to you is, look, you know, our system works on this responsiveness that comes from talking to constituents, finding out about their problems. And as Isabel says, but they meet on the level. They don't meet with the constituent having been searched or whatever like that, because that they feel that would violate the idea that you are talking as two people together. And I think that is what makes this whole situation so terribly challenging, because you know, your instinctive answer to a profession which had had three people attacked at their workplace in the last 11 years would be to say, well, increase security. But if you increase security in their workplace, there, something is lost, as Isabel said. Something quite precious is lost. But I think when you consider the current situation, it becomes hard to say to MPs and even harder to say to their families. You know, David Amos has survived by a wife and five children. Even harder to say to their families, you know, this is a risk that you're going to have to run, because we value the responsiveness that brings to our politics. I think you know, there is no doubt that, you know, that if we end up in a situation where the police stand outside every constituency surgery, or whether you have to pass through an airport-style security scanner to see your MP, something that has been valuable in our system would be lost. But at some point, I think you have to say, well, it is quite hard to avoid losing that, given the threats, the rhetoric, and the reality of three MPs being attacked in or near their constituency surgery in the last 11 years, and two of them having died. I mean, this is what toll are we prepared to accept?
Isabel, David Amos has said on his website that anybody could show up and meet him. He said his next surgery would be taking place today at the Belfair's Methodist Church. He was deliberately open. He knew the risks. And I suppose today's tragic events will underline the risks that all politicians take when they meet their constituents in such circumstances.
Yes, and I think if we don't see a shift towards more security measures, we will see a shift in the way that MPs see their jobs and prospective politicians weigh up the sort of count the cost actually of going into politics. Because in another public service, I think we would say that Joe Cox and David Amos had been killed in the line of duty, and they were doing their jobs, and they were doing their jobs as openly as they could do. And I think it's a terrible, sickening thing that people who are elected to represent us now have to think about whether they might lose their life in this country doing that job. You'd expect that of, you know, a police officer. You wouldn't expect that of somebody who's a member of parliament.
James, above the door of the House of Commons chamber on their way out was a plaque with the name of Éire Neave, the war hero and Tory MP who was killed by Irish National Liberation Army in a car bomb attack in the House of Commons in 1979. Jo Cox's name is also there, killed while she was on duty. Now to this, we can add the name of David Amos.
Yeah, I mean, there is a shield of Jo Cox in the chamber, which near where she used to sit, which is a reminder of what happened to her. And as you say, it is a tragic and awful situation, and something that should cause us all to reflect.
James and Isabel, thanks very much indeed. And thanks for listening, and thanks to Sam Holmes, our producer.